time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time. Let's get right into it here. Jim Harbaugh, new head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers. Are you buying or selling that Harbaugh, I don't want to use the term resurrects, because the Chargers have just been kind of a 8-9 win type of team. Maybe make the playoffs, barely, just miss out, whatever. Do you buy that Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert combo can be a regular playoff team, can be a contender, can be a top team in the West, can compete, contend with Kansas City? Buying or selling that?
I'm going to sell it. The Chargers just, I just feel like they're always going to charger. And
it's a curse?
Maybe not a curse. But I think Herbert just reminds me a lot of the trajectory of Phillip Rivers.
Just a really good quarterback.
Going to be really good. But I don't know if they're ever going to get to a point where they're winning big games.
I'm terrified of this. I am buying it. I think Harbaugh is going to get the Chargers right, and they're going to be another thorn in the side of the Denver Broncos. I'm buying it, Angel.
All cash. None of it's on the books.
Okay. Are you buying? Let's do a double negative here. Are you buying that CSU is not a double negative, but just a negative, is not a March Madness team? Are you buying that after last night's loss to Nevada, or are you selling it?
I'm going to sell it.
So you believe they are?
I believe that they are still going to be in the tournament.
It's tough, man. This game this weekend is a hinge game for CSU. I think they can win it, but I Wyoming's doing crazy things, so I'm going to, for now, I'm going to sell it as well. I'm not buying that they are not a March Madness team.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell!
Tanner gave us this one. Maybe this is an obvious one, though. Are you buying or selling that Nathan MacKinnon is going to win the MVP this year in the NHL?
After last night, and what was thrown on, hats and all types of clothing thrown on the ice.
Yep, underwear and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he's like a rock star now.
Yeah, he's. I don't know if he's won it yet, but yeah, let's do it. I'm going to buy that.
He's the leading candidate right now to win the MVP. So let's go buy it, baby. I'm buying it. Yeah, the Avs are rolling. MacKinnon's the best.
All cash. None of it's on the books.
I love it. I love what Nathan MacKinnon is about. He's been a Hart Trophy finalist 3 times in his career, but he's never been given the award. Never won. Is this going to be the year? He's on pace to do that. And we're getting through the season, man. I mean, the Avs are in a pretty good spot. You know, they've kind of been, you know, it was a little weird for a while. You know, the Boston game was rough, but they're finding ways. You know, they're winning 3 here, they're winning 4 here, and then when you get a guy like MacKinnon, who's been amazing all year, but then there's just those nights where you go, it's legendary. What he's doing is talk about Mount Rushmore yesterday. Get another cup for MacKinnon. He might be up there. Another cup for MacKinnon and the Hart Trophy? Boy. Be hard not to, you know, because if we're putting Joker up there, that would be... MacKinnon would have exactly what Joker has. No, he did more.
8-3 in the month of January.
Pretty solid. Rounding out into form. Home against Los Angeles tomorrow at 7. I like it.
Then they go on a 5-game road trip.
Ooh, so this game tomorrow then is pretty significant. Get this one at home. At New York, at New Jersey, at Carolina, at Florida, at Washington, at Tampa Bay. Yikes. And, you know, the Kings, pretty good team. So The Avs are going to be battle-tested here before too long, man. I mean, that road trip's going to get them. But we're rounding out, man. And Nathan MacKinnon's one of those top players. I mean, it's fun to see he and Nikola Jokic. The world we're living in right now, just take a step back and acknowledge this. You have the greatest nugget ever. What's it going to take for Nathan MacKinnon to be the greatest Av ever? Joe Sakic has two cups. Think an MVP. Think two. I want to say two. I could be wrong on that, but I want to say two MVPs. Patrick Waugh is one of the best goalies ever, and he also has the two cups. Sakic is in the Elway territory, though, as far as, okay, he became an executive and a GM, and he has a cup as that. It's team president. So that does add to it. So for a player to get it, they got to go do extra things. Obviously, MacKinnon's got to get another cup. Then he'd tie Sakic as a player. But then again, every cup that MacKinnon gets, Joe Sakic's getting his hand in that.
Mm-hmm. I'd say an MVP and another cup would.
They go, but
put them right there.
That's what's tough is it goes hand in hand with Sakic because every cup that
you gotta take some credit away.
Well, we have to be clear with like is our Mount Rushmore for players or is it for players that have also coached and GM'd and all that stuff? To be
MacKinnon
fair,
better than Sakic as a player.
Boy, that's tough to say because. He was so good. The face of that organization. He was the most valuable player in 1990 in the 1996 playoffs. He did win the regular season award at one point too. I'm trying to remember when. I know he won the MVP, right? He was a playoff MVP, but I'm pretty sure he won an actual regular season MVP. But it would take a lot. To pass up Joe. Just like it would take a lot for any Bronco to pass up John Elway. I mean, if you're not a quarterback, it's going to be very difficult to do that. But if there's a guy that could do it, it'd be Nathan MacKinnon.
Looks like it's just one MVP in 2001.
2001, so he won the regular season MVP in 2001. Then he got the playoffs MVP. That'd be tough to do it, but I mean, after last night, man. Like, that could be a fun poll question again, too. Like, who means more to their team, Nathan MacKinnon or Nikola Jokic? And I still think, and I'm biased, but it's Nikola Jokic. Take Joker off that team today. Not a playoff team.
That's scary.
They're not a play-in team, are they?
No.
Take MacKinnon off the Avs. What are they? Are they still a playoff team?
Barely. They're getting in the playoffs, but not nearly as consistently.
And they're not, like, a contender.
Yeah.
I can buy that. Joker is just, like, that's their thing. They build the whole thing around him. I mean.
He's like the one ring.
Who's the greater of the two? Crossover between two different sports? Now, that's a different discussion. Now, they both have the same amount of titles. Joker has two MVPs. MacKinnon's probably going to get one. They're right there, lockstep. And mad respect for MacKinnon's always bragging about Joker. Love it. Mm-hmm. All right, 15 minutes after the hour. NFL playoffs. Baltimore Ravens playing host to the Kansas City Chiefs. San Francisco 49ers playing host to the Detroit Lions. Where are you guys leaning on that? Are you going to go conspiracy? Are you going to go with the color scheme? You pick by numbers, pick by color. Is that what you're doing? 15 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. I'm Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Who will win it all this year? NFL playoff coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Steamway Floor to Ceiling has a 4,000 square foot showroom with tile, luxury vinyl, hardwood, carpet, granite, cabinets, countertops, window treatments, go on and on and on and on. That's how big this showroom is. And maybe you're remodeling, you know, we're in that new year, new you kind of thing, or maybe it's just a project you've been putting off for the longest time. Well, you can remodel on a budget. You got budget planning with them, consultation, design, financing options, all of it at Steamway Floor to Ceiling. Family owned for over 35 years. Check them out online at family, or it's steamwayfloortoceiling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Dixon says, I'm kind of an outsider here, but on CSU basketball, kind of like CU football. They got off to a hot start and everybody gets excited and they slow way down. I mean, CU won the first three games and they ended up winning four games. CSU is 13-4. You know, like that's an unfair comparison. But okay, let's go through it. I wouldn't say CSU slowed way down. I mean, they just won two in a row and then they lost last night to Nevada. They slowed down.
Either get blown out or have a big lead and lose it. Then no.
No. Yeah, they didn't have the Stanford thing. No, they've actually in the four games they've lost, they were all pretty close. They were all had moments where they could come in and maybe come back and win. The other thing is, I think the conference is a little overrated in some aspects, and what we think are big games aren't really big games, just games between average basketball teams. I don't think Utah State and New Mexico are average basketball teams.
Mountain West is consistently one of the better, if not the best, group of five conference.
Was San Diego State not in the national championship game last year? Or yeah. In the
Nevada's in there quite a bit. Right. Utah State gets in there quite a bit.
So I don't know if I'm going there with you, Dixon. The rankings will eventually reflect that. In my opinion, I'm gonna have to. You're going to have to win the tourney to get in like usual. What do you mean like usual? When CSU got into March Madness 2 years ago, they were an at-large bid. They didn't have. They couldn't. They didn't win the tournament. They were an at-large. As of right now, the trajectory is still positive for CSU to get in with an at-large bid. Still there. However, you lose to Wyoming on Saturday, even though it's on the road. I think, and again, I'm not disrespecting Wyoming because Wyoming has proved me wrong this year. They're actually a pretty good basketball team, or, you know, decent basketball team. I honestly won't come in Monday and be shocked if Wyoming wins. I mean, CSU should win that game, but I could see Wyoming pulling off an upset. But if they lose to the Cowboys on Saturday, you have some major, major concerns then at that point. So I don't think CSU's overrated. You heard Nevada's crowd last night chanting overrated. They did not look like a top 20 team at that point last year. Dixon says 3-0 start when you play 12 is comparable to 13-4 start when you play 25. But Dixon, they spent like most of the season in the top 25. They beat Creighton. They beat some good teams. So I can't really go with you. Like that comparison is nothing like the CU Buffs football team. They beat a mediocre to bad TCU team. They beat a bad Nebraska team. They beat what turned out to be a bad CSU football team. Who was there? Arizona State? They barely beat a bad Arizona State team. CSU has the resume. So, I mean, that comparison's like, is just interesting to me. Doesn't work for me. Colorado State is they're 15-4. I said they're 13-4. They're 15-4. And they, like, the marquee victories that they've had, Colorado Buffaloes. 88-83. The Buffs have been on a roll. Now, as we talked about, they beat Creighton. Creighton's legit.
I mean, the Buffs keep winning. That's going to be a quad one win.
It's only going to help them. The fact that UNC keeps winning is only going to make it look a little bit better. It's not, you know, it's just something. The teams that beat you, or the teams that you beat, go on and do some big things. That's great. And the fact that the Buffs continue to do this is huge.
So we go back to rooting for your rivals.
Well, yeah, it's like you have to root for the Buffs. Rams fans, you need the Buffs to win. It's going to help your resume, man. I have to train you guys. Like, I have to teach you. Brady, you never root for the... That's how they sound when they say this. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's just math at this point. You know, it's science.
Yeah, in basketball, it's more important if you can beat, if you can have multiple quad one wins. I learned what quad one actually meant last night. So
quad one, upper tier, basically.
Like top 60 teams.
Mm-hmm. Quad two is outside of that and to wherever. And then what is it? Quad? They have quad four.
They do.
It's quad one through four. CSU, are they a quad two team? Are they a quad one? They got to be quad one. Because they're ranked.
Yeah, they're ranked, so they're a quad one.
Yeah, there we go.
So Nevada got a quad one win last night.
Do I feel like CSU is a little bit overrated? It's so hard to gauge it because, Angel, it's just been a weird stretch. You know, you beat the pants off New Mexico. Now, it ended up being 76-68, but there was never any doubt. The Rams had New Mexico's number. The Utah State game wasn't really a bad game. You lost by five on the road, one of the hardest places to play in the conference. Then you lose 65. You only score 58 against Boise State. You know, Boise doesn't lose at home, but you only score 58 points. That was a concern. You beat Air Force, but it took overtime to do it, an unlikely end of regulation to get to overtime, and then overtime was domination by the Rams. You beat UNLV, but that was also a comeback win, and it was at home. So I would say the last 3 weeks, it doesn't feel like CSU is a top 25 team. But they've also shown the ability to play like that. I haven't seen that since the New Mexico game. I mean, since they started, and is that just this conference beating them up and they know each other and they've played against all these guys? It's way harder to go against guys that you know. I mean, they know your stuff, you know their stuff. Who benefits better? Who's better at film study? All that, what goes into it? Because it has been a struggle. Nothing has been easy for them since the New Mexico game. So do I think they're overrated? I think that's a dangerous term.
They earned their ranking early in the year.
Yeah, and
they
just
are losing their ranking right now because of their last six games.
Well, in the NBA, a team can have a week or two. Joker, remember when he had like two games in a row where it was like, this is the worst games we've ever seen from him. That's basketball. You're going to have a stretch. Maybe several stretches where, especially if it's an 82-game season, where there's four or five games, or maybe three out of four or five games, you look at and go, that doesn't even look like the same team. They're just off. Something's weird. And you see that in the NBA probably three or four times, even with the great teams. And in college, you might see it once or twice. You know, you're going to see. That's why March Madness is so nutty, because the best teams get in, and then suddenly they're out in the first round because whatever it was just didn't click that night.
So the feeling you have right now about CSU, will it feel better or worse at the end of February?
I mean, just a monster schedule. Listen, I believe in this team at the end of February. So by the end of February, February 27th, then they'll have two games left. They have two regular season games in March. I mean, it's a gauntlet, dude. You've got a gauntlet. Will I feel better? Why does my gut tell me that I won't? My gut's telling me that I won't. I did not like what I saw last night. Now, I'm selling that they're not an NCAA tournament team, but I don't know if that's because I have my green and gold glasses on. I'm not sure. Because I did not like last night. That they did not look good.
Do their performances on the road look like their performances at home in the Mountain West?
Honestly, like their two games at home, their wins against Air Force and UNLV, they didn't look that great. They turned it on in the final 2 minutes or whatever, but they didn't look that great. I want to see some Brady. It's the Mountain West. New Mexico dominated San Jose State last night in the Pit. They dominated them. Never a shot. So I don't really want to hear the excuse of it's the Mountain West. You can't just blow people out. I've seen New Mexico win double-digit games. I've watched four of their games this year, and two of them were double-digit wins over Wyoming and San Jose State.
No, you don't need to win them by 20 points.
No, but you want to
be
like,
lead.
Not everything is like, hey, there's 3 minutes left, and I'm down five, and I got to get miraculous here to win against the team that I'm supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. So they're not like, their offense is much worse on the road. There's no question. Their offense has been bad on the road. But I got to tell you, man, that Nevada game, it really left a bad taste in my mouth. Like, it just, 77-64. You know, offense wasn't there. You were terrible from the three-point line. Isaiah wasn't very efficient. Patrick Cartier got in foul trouble, wasn't very good before that. Joel Scott's kind of there. I didn't like what I saw. I am very concerned about this team. So when I say press the panic button, that doesn't mean the season is over. When I say the season is over, that's what that means. When I press the panic button, it goes, you better win your next freaking game. You bet, or it's done. You're probably not going to go dancing. Just like that. That's unless you lose to Wyoming and then you go on and you win everything else. What's the likelihood of that happening, especially if you lose to a team like Wyoming? So I am concerned. Yeah, I'm at this point on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm right there around 7 or 8. It's must win time against the Cowboys. Texter, have to dominate the conference to get an at large bid. If you don't win the conference tourney and CSU is losing, we'll probably lose a few more conference games. Right, but like Utah State and Boise State, they play this weekend. Somebody's going to have two losses now. Because right now you have two teams with one loss in the conference. Somebody's going to have two after the weekend. If you can beat Wyoming, then you're going to be in a handful of teams that have lost two or three games. You're right there with them, and then Utah State. It'd be better if Utah State honestly lost. That's going to be... that could happen, because it's at Boise. Because I see Boise losing down the road.
Whatever team starts to pull away mid-February... is those two, the top two, potentially three teams there that pull away, you'll feel confident about getting into the tournament.
Yeah, you're thinking maybe it drops down to like two
I'm
or three.
Say three.
Yeah, it could. That was my fear, is that they'd beat each other up this whole time. Another big one tonight, Angel, UNC taking on Eastern Washington. And it's big. And I had Smiley, Coach Smiley, on Monday, and he's trying to downplay it. Like, yeah, no, it's big, but like, no, if we lose, it's not going to end the season, which is true because it's the Big Sky Conference. It's at their in this conference, it doesn't. You don't get an at-large bid. You're still going to have to play in the tournament. You could go undefeated in the regular season and lose in the first round of the tournament, and you're not going dancing. So while this game is big, and it is big for seeding purposes and stuff like that, it's not the end-all be-all. This game is not as big as CSU Wyoming in terms of what it does for their season. But it could be a huge confidence booster. But Eastern Washington is a good basketball team. And so this is definitely going to be a battle. And we're going to learn a lot more about the Bears. Like I said, it's not going to tell us the whole story, but they've been really good in conference play. And I think a lot of people are shocked. They're 4-1, they're second place. Eastern Washington's 5-0, right above them. You win tonight, you're number one in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, and Big Sky regular season champ. If they don't win the tournament, they get an NIT bid. If they do go on to win the tournament, the 1 or 2 seed gets a bye. That's a difference between playing 4 straight games mm-hmm. or 3 straight games.
Which is huge, which would be absolutely huge. And they're 11-7 right now. I mean, I would have never predicted 11-7, 4-1 in the conference here on January 25th. I would have probably said something like the reverse of that. 7-11 maybe, and 2-2 or something in the conference, but you have an opportunity here, and there's some really good players in this St. Thomas guy, man. He's something else. He's a special player. He's a guy, you know, you're already worrying about, you know, is he going to be here next year? Get that NIL thing going, you know, get some NIL stuff going with him. 34 minutes after the hour, we'll get into the NFL next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Why doesn't Lamar Jackson get the same kind of respect that Josh Allen gets? Or even Dak Prescott? Dak, I know, gets some knocks too, but he's well talked about. Patrick Mahomes, I get he has two Super Bowls. But you're not putting, we're not really putting Lamar Jackson up there. When we're talking about elite quarterbacks the past 5 years, you know, you're always starting the conversation with, you were at least, with Tom Brady, and then you were going to Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Then when Brady left, it was still, Rodgers was still kind of in that mix, and he'll be probably in the mix next year. Lamar's had an MVP. They made it to the AFC Championship that year, right? His MVP year? Or did they lose before that? They lose in the divisional round. So he hasn't made it to the AFC Championship. Is it the wins? Is it not quite getting over that hump? Like, you're a great stat player. You have a lot of really awesome fantasy stats. But we haven't seen you in the Final Four. We haven't seen you deep into the playoffs that often.
I think that's a part of it. I think he has made the jump as a passer this year. I'll give him the credit there. Because I think early in his career, a lot of it was just, oh, he just runs. And if you force him to throw, he's not going to beat you with his arm. And I still kind of believe that. But he, you know, I think maybe the contract stuff in the offseason has been weird for some people. Like, you want all this money and, you know, you're not really, you know, getting wins like you should. You know, before this year, he was 1-3 in the playoffs. Obviously, now 3-3. So, not great, not terrible, but he's playing at a very, very high level.
Yeah, and I've always kind of seen it with him. I've always thought he can throw. He did get locked into the run stuff, and I think that messed him up, and that threw him off quite a bit his first couple of years. But the athleticism that he had, has, separated him. But what I think's interesting is, like, Josh Allen does get the, he is the, in the upper echelon. People consider him one of the elites. He hasn't done anything more than Lamar. I mean, he hasn't won an MVP, and he made it to the AFC Championship game once.
I think what a lot of people, a lot of media people or random casual viewers will say, oh, you're elite because you can throw the ball 70 yards in the air on a dime and, you know, hit your receiver in the back of the end zone and it's a perfect pass. You know, Josh Allen can do that. He has a very, very strong arm, and he can run. And when you compare him to Lamar, Lamar's going to make you miss. Josh is just going to run over you. And I think that gets more people's attention. Mahomes does a little bit more of the make you miss stuff, but he makes up for it for the wild, ridiculous passes downfield.
People don't understand, and I'm not saying you're one of these people, but Michael Vick was easier to understand because he was still considered a heck of a passer too. People don't understand Lamar Jackson. I think a lot of people don't understand him. I always give Tanner crap, and I'm like, dude, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have a lot of similarities, and they've done about as much in their career. They're like almost right here. Josh Allen's won more playoff games. He made it to the AFC Championship. Lamar's got an MVP, so they're almost even. But people get uncomfortable because he's just so different. He is going to run and put moves on you like a wide receiver or a running back would do in the open field. 90%, even Patrick Mahomes, they're going to slide or work to get out of bounds. Mahomes, when he runs, he's fat, he's quick, he's fast, you know, but he doesn't look it. He doesn't look like he's got to get a nice lane, and he just kind of moves on down the field. Lamar Jackson looks like an elite athlete when he gets outside of the pocket and starts moving around, and that's confusing to people. Dixon says in his playoff losses, he's been really bad, not just bad. Yeah, like you said, he's, what, 2-3? Sure, yeah. I mean, that's fair to say. He didn't go last year. He was hurt last year. He's still a relatively young dude. He just now got his second contract done with Baltimore. So, you know, is he Patrick Mahomes? No. But if, tell you what, you get a win over Kansas City this weekend, and you go to your first Super Bowl, and you're a two-time MVP, then I think more people will start having that conversation about you. Now, check this out, Angel. This is from NFL Network, or NFL Good Morning Football this morning. Quarterbacks to win two or more MVP awards and start a Super Bowl. Would you like to take a crack at it? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
To win MVP.
To win MVP at least two times.
Okay.
And then start in the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, you got one.
Patrick Mahomes.
Bam.
Aaron Rodgers.
Got it.
Peyton Manning.
Got it. You got one, two, three, four, five more to go.
Five. Oh my gosh.
I can give you hints.
How far back does this go?
It goes pretty far. Most of these are going to be guys that you know, well, you know of. The rest of the guys on the list are playing. You probably didn't. I know you didn't watch them play.
Big Ben?
Nope.
Nope.
One was, you said Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Brett Favre.
Yep.
Okay. Montana?
Yep.
Okay.
Also on that note?
Steve Young.
Yep. I don't think
Eli Manning's not on there.
No.
No, Kurt Warner would have been a good guess.
Kurt Warner, and then Johnny Unitas. Wow. So Lamar.
That's way back.
Lamar would join that company. So that's kind of cool. You know, again, Lamar's got a lot to prove this weekend. I'm a big Lamar Jackson guy. I'm a fan of being entertained, and he's the most entertaining guy in football. I love watching him play. But he's got to be able to win a game like this against the Chiefs. They're the home team. They've earned the number one seed. It's right there for him. But you got to get through it, you know, in order to get over that mountain. And that doesn't mean that Lamar will surpass Patrick Mahomes. It just means that he's going to get over that mountain once at least to prove that he belongs at least in the same conversation as a guy like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and things like that.
Yeah, and I go back to that. Can you beat teams with your arm? I think Josh Allen can do that. Mahomes can do that. Prescott can do that. Purdy, I haven't even watched a ton of him. But
I didn't think he looked good last week, but apparently he's a finalist for Offensive Player of the Year.
He figures it out, you know, with that offense.
But he has a lot of yards.
I think Lamar, if he can go win the game with his arm, make those clutch passes in the fourth quarter and not just, okay, you just look for your first two guys and then start running, and then you're going to make your plays there. You know you're going to make your plays there. Can you make him take those downfield tight window shots to keep you in a game or to go win a game in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Mark Andrews right now, hopeful. They're hopeful that he's going to play. I mean, that's a game changer right there. Dixon said he hasn't been good when the lights are the brightest, so people don't have confidence in him. And we see, like, right now, I feel like that's not true anymore. You can't say that right now because he did win last week. I mean, and the lights were very bright on Lamar Jackson this year all season because he got that contract. A lot of people didn't want him to do that, didn't want the Ravens to re-sign him because they thought it was a sketchy business because he's going to get hurt or whatever. So I feel like the lights were on him. The pressure was on him. He was under the microscope all season more than he's ever been.
Who do you have more confidence in going into this game? At quarterback?
At quarterback? Like just individually?
Mm-hmm.
It's still got to go. It's got to go to Patrick Mahomes. It still goes to Patrick Mahomes. You know, as far as mentally being a quarterback and making those right decisions, Patrick is still there. However, I think that early on, when the pressure's not on as much, I can see Lamar Jackson making his money early. And that whole prediction you threw out, I could certainly see the Ravens going off in the first quarter. Then they're putting pressure on Kansas City. And now we're forcing Kansas City to make, because don't forget that Baltimore defense is elite. Like, that's a great defense.
Yeah, I think with Mahomes is, even when he does struggle, like he didn't have his best year this year, but he can turn it on when you need him to.
Yeah.
Lamar is very, very consistent, very, very electric, very, very fun, entertaining to watch, very consistently. When he's in a moment where, okay, now you're in the AFC Championship, you're down by 10 going into the fourth quarter, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and that's what you don't really think of Lamar in those sense of quarterbacks, the fourth quarter comeback and things. You just don't think of him like that.
Like in the Bills game this past weekend, when regardless if they kicked that field goal and made it, I still thought, okay, you're going to give Mahomes back the ball with 1:40.
I thought Kansas City's march right down score, and I do. You're right. I have that confidence in him. I kind of have that confidence in Lamar, but if you're looking at 2 minutes left, you're down four. You're on your own 25. Who's going to give you a better shot? It's going to be Mahomes at this stage.
So I'll ask you the flip side, NFC. Who do you have more confidence in at quarterback?
Oh, Jared Goff.
Really?
Yeah. I'm out on Brock Purdy.
I know Jared has been there before with the Rams, but I think this Lions offense is a little bit better than that Rams team in 2018-19. Has Goff matured enough to where you earn, where he's earned that confidence over Brock Purdy in that offense?
It seems like he has.
Or are you waiting for the shoe to drop with him?
I'm wait. See, I think both guys are fair to say. Because I think if Brock Purdy plays around average or less, this team, you can have all the weapons in the world, but if you can't have someone to conduct it all, it's not going to work. And then with Debo's situation, I don't...
He's limited.
He's limited. Okay. And Jared Goff, I kind of feel like that too. Like, Goff is another one. Why isn't he in that? He's not in the elite status either. But they love him in Detroit, man. They just love this guy. I think part of that has been Dan Campbell being able to instill that belief into this guy. And that guy truly buys it, truly believes it. 48 minutes after the hour. Take a quick break. What did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron.
Here and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this 25th day of January? Okay, we learned that I there is reason to panic. If you're a CSU Rams basketball fan, there is definitely reason to panic. Don't be naive. Hit the panic button. Doesn't mean the season's over. Doesn't mean March Madness is out of the question. It just, when you hit the panic button, it means panic. Do something. That's what that means. So when I say I'm panicking, that means you got to go win the next game. And when I come back next week and say we're beyond panic, March Madness is over, not going to happen, then that's it. We're in panic mode right now. You go beat Wyoming, you can take your hand off the panic button and relax for a moment just in time to play San Diego State. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that the Avs and Nuggets are gearing up for a final stretch of the ages. I think both teams are going to somehow grab the one or two seeds in their conference, and we're going to have party every other night.
Oh, it's going to be late. How are you going to survive? You know, you're going to have to bust through that, man.
I'll make it work.
It's going to be some late nights. A lot of late nights.
Playoff hockey basketball is, I will stay up to watch it.
You know what I saw? I was packing my stuff back or unpacking whatever when I got home from my trip to Cheyenne Wells on Tuesday, and one of the shirts fell off the hanger, and it was the Nuggets cutoff shirt. Yeah.
It's not framed?
Oh, no, because
it's not gold-plated?
No, I'm bringing it back out. It's been washed. Oh, okay. It has been washed. But game one, series one, we put it on, and we go again.
Oh, man.
We might have to do something for the Avs. Maybe I need to get an Avs shirt.
A sweater.
Let's go to Shields. We'll go over to Shields, and we'll find something there, and we'll make it work. But I think you're right.
The Hooligans want to donate something.
Well, maybe we get the Hooligans to go in on this. We have a bunch of stinky people just watching sports every night, man. It was, you know, I'll admit the shirt wasn't bad until like midway through the second round. Then it was kind of like, okay.
Well, that was the sun, so yeah. You're stressing a little bit more.
And then by the end, putting it on, you just got the big old whiff, you know, and then you take it off and it's the whiff and it's like, I should go shower.
That old gym shirt you used to
have. Yeah, it was getting there for sure. But we're bringing it out again. Maybe we'll invite the Hooligans to do that too. Let's get an AV shirt. Let's get the Nuggets thing going again. And
some socks or something.
If you wear both shirts every night.
Oh, God.
But the team that's playing goes over the top of the team that's not playing.
Mixing fat.
No, I can't do that. I got to do what I did last year, Angel, because I think the Nuggets would even thank me. They haven't yet, but they will when the time is right. because I was a big part of that. All right, that's going to do it for us. We got a big night here. Rams Weekly starts at 5, and then we got UNC and Eastern Washington with pregame starting at 6:30 and tip-off at 7. Good night, Northern Colorado.